And welcome to the A4 Play Podcast, your first, only, greatest, best, last hope for talk about Japan games and Japanese games. I am your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald, here with the foursome coursome, the coursome foursome, the regular crew, the killers, order. All of them, Golden Order, sure. We'll come up with a better name for that, but you know them, you love them, the usuals, the crew, the standbys, the standards. Starting off with him, that is Gabe Cheese Doodle De Leon.
Cheese Doodle.
Cheese Doodle.
Cheese Doodle.
That's a name I have not heard in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't.
You're also like an enabler. One of your alternate nicknames, maybe this will give you a hint, was something about being an enabler or like a crutch.
Are you
Elden Crutches?
Are you accusing me of enabling cheeses upon?
I might
my
be
good friends of the Twitterverse and podcastverse. Is that what you're accusing me of?
Your good friends such as Tina Super Dry Carter. Super Dry, who is with us sober tonight. See if you can notice the difference.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
The performance anxiety. Why did you do this?
So you called in Gabe. Which boss was it? Let's just be real here. We're going to end up talking about Elden Ring a bunch more because we're still playing it. That's fine. That's fine. That's good. You kind of got back into it. You were retarnished, Carter, until a moment ago when you revealed that this was first time not drinking on the podcast ever, or just a rare.
I think first time ever, probably.
Yeah.
Because I've usually got like at least, you know, a cheeky beer or something chilling on my desk while we're recording, and I don't have anything today.
It's kind of a 8-4 play tradition, but I guess we can talk about that. The reason why presumably you aren't drinking, and the reason why we're recording a little earlier than normally, definitely earlier in the day, is because Golden Week is upon us here in Japan. Yes, who wants to explain the history of Golden Week and what the hell Golden Week is?
Okay,
what?
So Golden Week is the blessed time at the end of April and the beginning of May where several, I think three, national holidays.
Four.
National holidays all fall so closely together that they tend to usually blend into one big blessed week of holidays. Because there's also, I don't know the science exactly, but there's also a rule in Japan where if there are two national holidays with a normal day in between them, that day in between them also becomes a holiday. So depending on how things line up, it can sometimes be a full week off.
They're like lame holidays too. They're like Greenery Day, Children's Day, Constitution Day. So nobody like thinks of it as like, oh, today we're celebrating Constitution Day. Everybody just thinks of it as, oh, awesome, it's Golden Week. Where are we going? What are you doing for Golden Week is like the big topic. It's like they like to string together these holidays like this in Japan because a lot of people don't take vacations. And so it's kind of like forcing everybody to take vacations and doing it at the same time. Kind of honestly sucks to travel during Golden Week because everything is more expensive because everybody's traveling and everything is more crowded, the trains and what have you. But what that said, what are people have Golden Week plans? What are people doing for Golden Week here?
I'm going to an aquarium.
My life.
One at a time here, people. One at a time. Line up. Gabe, you have used the little raise your hand function of our podcast thing, so you get to go first. Yes,
yay!
Gabe.
Well, I'm going to an aquarium.
Oh, that's you're going to be there all week.
That's, yeah, 4 days. Wow. This weekend, I'm going to, I think, the one in Shinagawa. I have no idea. It was someone else's idea, and I was like, yeah, I'm doing nothing. Let's see what I can. It's been a hot
I have no excuse to not go. I guess I have to go to the aquarium. Yeah. But are you, and then so you'll be in Tokyo the whole time?
Yeah, I am staycationing, if you will.
John, what about you? You were saying something?
I'm the secret guest that Mark hasn't
introduced. Yeah, we kind of got derailed there, I think.
Well, you're right. Yes. Let's see. We should intro you. We kind of get to tangent of a tangent. But
we still need to get back to cheese doodles. Like, we're all over the place already.
That's right. That's right. Wait with bated breath there, dear listener. John Poutine Ricciardi.
Oh, Poutine. Talking about Mr. Poutine.
Poutine. Yeah. The Japanese name for Putin, apparently. Poutine.
Oh, sounds okay. Like Poutine. It really does. It's Poutine. Yeah. You hear that on TV a lot lately these days. So.
Yeah. Yes. So, Mr. Poutine, your Golden Week plans.
I'm going to finish Elden Ring. I am gonna do some shopping, I think. I don't really get out of the house much lately, but it's Golden Week is gorgeous weather. It's like always somehow perfect for like those like 5 or 6 days, and so
I take it you haven't checked the forecast.
What's the forecast?
Oh, it's gonna be just fucking piss ass rain all week, dude.
Oh wow.
I refuse to believe it. If you don't believe it, it won't happen.
Showers this Golden Week.
All right, keep it family friendly there, Gabe. Come on.
All net baby.
Usually it's really nice, but yeah, if it's not gonna be nice this week,
it is plotted in the like 2 weeks of the year that Tokyo is like not too cold and shitty or rainy or super hot usually, but
usually, we'll see although how that honestly, happens. Like it's already humid. Like I don't know what's going on, but like the last week has been kind of gross, and it's usually not gross yet at this point. So I don't know, man. Times are changing.
As of today, it's already like uncomfortably hot and muggy, and this isn't supposed to happen for at least another month.
Mm-hmm. So Tina, what about your Golden Week plans?
I am going to cocoon out. I think we've talked in the podcast before about how when I have a long stretch of holidays, I just grow an exoskeleton and like meld into my couch and don't move at all. And nice. I'm going to be doing a lot of Elden Ring. And tomorrow the Bugsnax expansion comes out. So I'm going to be spending a bunch of time in Snacksburg.
Nice. Featuring big snacks.
Bugsnax. I'm so excited.
Wait, so well this year also for people who care, like the Golden Week holidays, it's like magical. I think they lined up as perfectly as they possibly can because we have one on Friday, then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and so it's kind of like, well, I guess just take that Monday and Friday off, and so you end up with more than a week of holidays, which is like
10 days straight. Yeah.
A perfect storm. But Tina, it sounds like the weather is perfect weather for your plans, right? You kind of want it to be like rainy and shitty out when you're just kind of.
It makes it even easier to just not leave my house for any reason. Because if the weather's nice, like I still want to be doing my cocoon thing. But if the weather's nice, I kind of have a little bit of guilt of like, oh, it's a nice day. Maybe I should actually go out and do. When it's shitty outside, I'm like, fuck yeah.
That's why snow, I want to live eventually somewhere where it snows heavily for large parts of the year, because that's the ultimate. It's like, I'm just going to sit here, enjoy the snow. I can't go out. I have to sit in and play video games. Look.
It feels great.
It's terrible out there. Yeah. Speaking of feeling great. So you're back into the ring, as they say, back to cheese doodle and where we got off there. And John, you're still playing. I'm still dabbling like here and there, but let's talk about you getting back in. Tina, what brought you in and what made you call Sir Cheese Doodle over there?
Well, I didn't. I think you've misunderstood. I didn't call Gabe into my game. That was a reference to he cheesed the shit out of a dragon fight a while back.
Unintentionally.
Like the fall damage just like basically killed a dragon for him. Mm-hmm. And the other day when I was playing, I was fighting a dragon, and in its move set, it has like a fly and do a big fire breathing attack and then land and then turn around and walk towards you kind of choreography. Mm-hmm. Except when it landed and turned around to walk towards me, it got stuck on part of the ruins that are in the area. So it was kind of like clipping into a building just enough that it kept trying to walk forward, but it wasn't getting closer to me. So I just sat there for like a solid minute, just like pelting it with arrows until it died.
Oh, okay. I did totally misunderstand too.
I totally thought you could, because the way you worded it, it just looked like you summoned Gabe into your thing, and then that was that. So I guess
you what do you have against what did Gabe ever do? What do you have against Gabe? Why wouldn't you call Gabe in for help?
We also talked about this last episode. I don't have online shit. I don't pay money to be able to do that stuff.
You still haven't gotten that.
Heck,
I thought this would be the game that would make you do that. You're missing out on so much. All these wonderful messages.
No, I can see the messages. I can.
Oh, you do get the messages.
I see the messages, and I see the blood pools, so I can see dumbasses doing dumbass shit. But
no kidding.
I don't play games with other people normally, so I don't have any reason to get it yet. I think once I get into like later game stuff, and I'm really struggling, I'll probably bite the bullet and actually do it. But I kind of want to wait until the new tiers come out, because I wanted to get the one with the retro games included anyway. So I'm probably
the new PlayStation Plus tiers.
Yeah.
Okay. John, what about you? You're still chugging along?
Yeah, still chugging along. I'm loving it. I think I'm close-ish to the end. I really have no idea, because I'm still not really like using the internet very much, and so I'm up in the mountaintops area now, and like you know, I spent a while struggling through the capital, which was kind of tough and a little bit of a pain, but I managed to get through there, and then now I'm just sort of starting to feel strong again. Like, this game has like those peaks and valleys where like when you feel strong, you feel like, okay, I'm going to be able to make a bunch of progress. All of a sudden there's a weekend where you kill like six bosses and like all this shit happens.
Right.
And then it's like, I've had like 10 days in a row where I felt like, okay, I can't do anything because I'm underpowered or something. And I'm back on the upswing now. I feel it feels good. And I do want to get it done. Not in the sense of being tired of it, but I just want to play other games and stuff too. And so I am going to finish it over Golden Week for sure.
What's your game clock at?
Yeah, like 125 or something like that. And
oh, okay. Oh, you still got
level 30, and I'm level like 100 and around the same, like 120 or something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you still. It depends, like how much you want to mainline through it, but there's still a good amount left for you to do if you want to do it.
I probably a lot of it's do. Optional. I'm not looking for a platinum or anything, but I have been like, you know, if I see a place, I don't like avoid it. I basically tackle every dungeon I've been to, and I've definitely killed a bunch of trophies for bosses that don't seem like they needed to be in the thing or whatever.
Right.
Like in the main path. But, that's the thing about that game, man. Like, I can't turn away from a challenge or like a thing to explore because it's just so interesting. And
right.
At the same time, I wouldn't be mad if I just happened upon the very like the last four or five bosses that I need only and then finished it. I would also be like totally fine. You know what I mean? But if I hit something else, I'm not going to walk away from it. Like, every new cave I find, I have to go through it. I've got a list on my phone now of like 10 areas to eventually go back to because like I went through them, but I couldn't beat the boss at the time or whatever.
Right.
So like, checklist.
You're not using the map. You're not using the little. I would put a little skull on the map if I couldn't get to a boss.
I did early on, but now it's like I can't. Sometimes I just miss them. There's so much shit on that map. Like, they're hard to see. Like,
yeah.
I wish they glowed or something. And so no, I just started. I have a little notepad on my, you know, the notes app on iPhone, and I'm just like, I have a list of shit to go back to, basically.
Right on. Yeah, Gabe, did you finish the game like three or four more times since last podcast?
I've definitely beat it a third time, and I'm definitely I now have two characters that are semi-parallel.
I thought I was joking, by the way. you're back. You're playing it again? You're still playing
it? Yeah, I just beat Redan on both characters.
Fuck.
On characters 4 and 5.
Now I wonder, like, what is the? I mean, I get that maybe you just really do super enjoy the game, but this kind of feels like something else, like something
is,
you know, some wire in your brain has sort of
mental disorder
turn right.
That's there too. Yes,
but like,
because
for me,
there's so many different play varieties in this game. Like, my very first playthrough, I was pretty like cookie cutter, doing decks and doing shard swords. And then I was like, I haven't touched magic at all, so let me play with that and only that do that.
I do. I am magic curious. However, I think we talked about this in the last podcast. Magic I do curious. Wonder if that is fun or not. Like, because eventually you just get the fucking Death Star beam and you just melt, and a boss fight just becomes stay away from the boss and pepper it from afar rather than like any interacting. Like, the most fun I have in combat now is when I learn somebody's move set and I'm like actively either blocking or rolling and then returning, doing the block return attack. I forget what it's called when you R2 after the
pong-ching,
the counter hit. That wonderful little noise.
It's still like, you can't just cheese with the mimic tier when you do magic, because the mimic tier with magic is dumb. It's not like it's unless you just want a body.
You just need a body to draw aggro, and you're sitting there melting it.
There are better spirits to summon at that point, if you really want something tanky, rather than just trying to do like a double Kamehameha on whoever bossed. And because a lot of the bosses, especially the latter game ones, have such incredible, like, absurd movement. Like, you still have to memorize a boss pattern. Like, I, on the magic character, I spent over the weekend maybe like an hour and a half at the final boss, dropping my sign and helping people beat that final boss. And the, like, I was reading his movement. Like, it was something out of the Matrix of just like, okay, jump here. Cause I had to learn all that stuff, because the way you fight those bosses at the end, completely
Tell
different.
Truth,
if you're
Gabe,
magic.
Are you let me solo her? Is that you?
No, oh, no, I don't.
That would be the new story of the century.
No.
I heard it here first, folks.
I'm not that good. For those of you that don't know, Let Me Solo Her is a player in Elden Ring who runs around naked with a jar head, and he's dual wielding katanas, and his name is Let Me Solo Her, and you summon him to your game and he will beat one of the hardest bosses currently in the game for you, and got a massive community following, and seems to be an all right decent person, which is fine.
Her of Let Me Solo Her. It's a what's her name? Melania or something? There's one of the hardest.
There's Melania. A female boss.
Melania.
Yes.
And if you attack her, the Let Me Solo Her will just like stop and leave.
No,
the game.
Actually,
that's misinformation.
That's where the lore gets. The lore goes deep. Like, there was an interview with this person, and he actually said, "No, that's a fake. There are fake Let Me Solo Her who will leave." But the real guy is like, "No, you can attack if you want. Do what you want, whatever. I'm gonna do it with or without you, basically."
And there's in 1.04, which just came out last week. I don't know if it's a bug or not, but they made that boss harder. It has
Up with that? I haven't beaten her yet. I was kind of annoyed to hear that.
It has a mechanic where prior to the patch, if she hits you, she heals. And now it's if she swings at you and she's close enough to whiff, she heals. Which
I really wonder the decision making mechanism, what it is exactly on the patches, like how that stuff. There, a couple other things got broken on accident. I think you guys have probably seen the two phase bosses, that like the fire giant and the godskin duo. If they have a status ailment going when they go to their second phase, they basically just die immediately.
That's great.
Is that still a thing?
That because sounds I like I want to cash in on that.
With the fire giant, I think you will want to, especially if you're doing by yourself. That's one of the hardest, for me personally, was at least one of the hardest bosses in the game. And the Godskin Duo is no joke either, if you're not calling in other people, at least.
Yeah.
Godskin Duo, did I fight that one already?
Maybe you haven't fought him yet, no.
No. It's
you fought. You might have fought individual Godskin guys.
Okay,
though.
I fought a
Godskin apostles.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
They're hard to forget. Like, one of them is a big fat guy, the other guy is a stretchy guy, and they're wearing, like,
skin
as clothes, which is fucking disturbing.
I'm in a happy little bubble where I still don't know what most of the stuff you guys are talking about is, because I'm still so early in the game.
Where are you? Who was this dragon that you beat? Describe where that dragon was.
The very beginning of the game. The very first
one.
Oh, so
the one in
the
big pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first started playing, So my growth as a player has been tangible to me, and I'm so proud of myself. Because when I first started playing for like the first 20 hours or something, I was just like skulking around, afraid of everything. I didn't go any, like, as soon as I walked into a cave, I was like, no, and then left again. Like, I didn't do anything. I was a little baby bitch. And the most recent big thing that I did was I found the Weeping Peninsula, which I somehow completely missed.
You mentioned this on Twitter. Yes. Yeah, yes.
I completely missed it. So I went down there and was like, oh, this, I should probably check this out. And I was just over leveled enough for the area that nothing was too difficult, but it was still fun to do it. And
yeah,
that was a really big confidence booster for me, because I was like, oh, I actually understand what I'm doing. And I got a bunch of like smithing stone level ones that I could really use. And just like a whole bunch of like, there were things to upgrade my flask, and there was just all kinds of basic item shit that I didn't have yet that I'm now benefiting greatly from having. And like going through the castle,
I had a moment like that too.
I was like, this would have been great to have done before Stormville, the way I'm probably supposed to have done.
Yep.
That's one of the things. It's the other side of the, it's the other edge of the sword or whatever. So it's like, it's a great thing that the game is so open and doesn't guide you, because you really do feel like you're organically going places and doing these things. But you can have a really great, so Souls games were always kind of this way in some respect, but this game is so open that it's more so that you could have a really shitty, you could have a better or worse experience based totally on a lot of like random factors. If you line up, like when the game is so good, it's when you're challenged, but it's not impossible, and the loot you're getting is relevant to you and it's good, right? If you're too over leveled, it's boring, and if you're way under leveled and just happened into some place that's impossible, it's like, it's frustrating and not fun at all either. But part of the reason that I'm impressed that you're still playing, Tina, and enjoying it is without having, usually being able to call in other players is like a leveling agent to be like, okay, I'm a little bit underpowered for this area, but I'm going to call in another person and that's going to help me. And so that way I can kind of, you can use it as like a little bit of a balancer. I wish so much that you would, I hope that you eventually do get to try that, because it is pretty different, but it's really fun to do stuff solo too. Don't get me wrong, but like, yeah, as a multiplayer game,
if
I love
start it. The Patreon right now and make the first tier,
oh man,
3 months of PlayStation Plus, we could maybe solve this problem. All we have to do is just start it right now. That's easy, right? Gabe, you can do that, right?
We can have a reward be people are allowed to come in and play with me and see how bad I actually am.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like those community
producer
events.
Level
producer community level. Events.
No, but like gold playing by myself only. Is fun, because I don't have to deal with other people, which isn't my favorite to begin with, but like the way that I've been doing
totally
it,
get
is,
it.
I'll go into a place
over here is very businesslike. When I called him, it was like, hey, I'm going to come and help you. It's like, hey man, what's up? Cool. This is what we got to do. Okay, cool.
Don't have to talk. Don't make like, small right, talk. Leave the money on the dresser. Leave the money on the dresser and we'll see you tomorrow. Exactly. Like, no, cool, like that kind of stuff. That is, I mean, one of the nice things about it is like nobody has, does it even have voice chat? I don't even know. Like you don't have to deal with that at all.
Yeah.
People just emote. They can't even, you can only earn items. Have you gotten any of the items that let you say like a single word? There's items in the game that will let you use it makes it really, it's like, you're the beautiful. Or they say one word and it's really weird. It's like a wind instrument that you get. It's kind of cool. Yeah. But they only can say like one word. They can't get that annoying. They can't be that chatty. It's like, just let's get down to business. Highly encourage you.
Now, the way I've been doing it is run into a place, figure out where everything is, get it down to a science, and then just repeat until I don't lose.
Okay. You'll be playing for like 24 years, though, if you keep that up. Like, eventually,
well, that's what I've been saying. Like, I know it's going to take me forever to get through this shit, but like, I'm having a good time doing it, so whatever. If I may bring up one complaint,
is the
audience receptive? The way that this game handles side quests kind of sucks ass, and not in the sense that like it doesn't give me enough guidance. You know, like I don't want it to give me a little map marker telling me where the next place to go is or anything like that. But it seems like it. If you go to a place that has a midpoint of a side quest, it will show you that midpoint side quest, but you can't do anything about it because the side quest hasn't started yet. So it's just like this awkward middle thing where it's like an interactable that you can't actually do anything about it yet.
Like what? Like, for example, like a lever that you can't pull, or what is the?
So I'm gonna get into specifics because this is a specific instance.
Yeah, go for it. I think most people are like,
yeah, I think I'm far enough behind that it shouldn't matter. But just for listeners, I'm gonna get into some specifics. So in the Waypoint Ruins in Limgrave, there's Sorceress Selin, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's there.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also found her fucking in shackles in a basement.
She's
in both places, and if I talk to her in the shackles location, well, that's the thing. Unless she's a fucking maybe it's a clone or it's like a lore thing that is not actually her. I don't fucking know, but like it's annoying.
Yeah, so
because I can't do anything about it. Like, I want to just free the person that's in shackles, but if I
and your turn is just like sucks for you.
Well, no, I
think we talked about.
I didn't attack her because I didn't want to kill her. But I was like, why don't I have the option to interact with this person beyond listening to her groan and moan about being in jail? Like,
as far as I can tell, there's a lot going on with the side quest, because like I'm in this chat with Mark and some of our other friends, and like pretty much everyone in that chat is, I think, further than me, or most of them have finished the game by now. But like over the course of the month or two talking about the quests and stuff, tons of stuff that is just like, okay, I never saw anything like that, and I have no idea, and I would have never found it on my own, and like there's no way in hell, like it just I could be wrong, like once I see the big picture, but right now it feels to me like there's 70,000 quests and I'm going to see like 1% of them.
Yes.
And I might get an ending that is like not the worst ending if I'm lucky, but like I've given up on even I feel like the quests are just there and you might stumble into like 3 or 4 during your game if you're lucky, unless you're looking stuff up.
But like, why would it tell me this is Selin and then not give me the option to go back to other Selin and be like, hey, I saw you in jail. What the fuck?
I haven't seen
it. Why do you assume
like that,
it's the same person?
My character would. The map marker says Sorceress Selin on it.
So
that doesn't make any sense.
Just here. I think we talked about this in the previous NPC thing, but the way that NPCs work in this game is even more so than a Dark Souls. It's like, open up Reddit thread and follow the steps. That's the only way to credibly, I'm sorry, it is just that way. Like, exactly what you're saying, and John, you too, if you play through this game like a normal, quote unquote, normal person, but just somebody who's not reading the internet or like determined not to get spoilers or advice from other people, you're going to miss easily 90% of the subquests, and the other rest of the time you will spend countless hours, like I said, with the Idaho or whatever example last time. A lot of people are like, cool, awesome, I'll see you later, and it's like, what, where? And it's like, nah, I'll just see you later somewhere in this fucking giant world. Oh, okay, I guess. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, the game does not give you the tools to do the quest lines. It's meant to be crowdsourced. It's meant to be put together. And there are nuances to it. Oh, you didn't talk to this person twice before you talked to that person. And you didn't bring this thing that you didn't know about to that person before this. Well, that's gone. It's fucking play over because you're not getting it this whole playthrough. I mean, it is full of that stuff.
My complaint here is less like, these quests are fucking intricate as shit and nobody would figure it out. And more, the way the game structurally shows them seems broken. Because like, I met a guy for the first time standing around in a field. The first time I ever saw him in my life, I talked to him and he was like, so you decided to challenge the dragon, did ya? Oh, well, no accounting for fools. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? We've never spoken before. But obviously he was supposed to tell me not to try and fight dragons before I fought a dragon, because he talked to me as though he had already told me something that I then didn't listen to. And that seems clumsy to me. Like,
like someone wants to apply for a job at From Software.
Like, he should default,
quest line department,
no matter what, have some kind of an introductory line that plays no matter what, And even if I have fought a dragon before, the first time I meet him, he should still have some kind of introductory line and then go to the you fought a dragon or whatever. Like, that seems like structure 101 to me in a dialogue tree.
In general, that might have been like an anomaly. In general, that's not largely a problem with the NPCs. The other thing is a problem where, wait, I just talked to her. What? Why is this not like you fucking open the Reddit thread and follow the steps? That's what the NPCs. It's the only way to quote unquote enjoy the NPCs. Which I agree, it has something to go. Yes, Gabe,
you're ready to burst over there.
Yeah,
it makes sense for the character, Tina. That's all I'm going to say. It makes sense for the character to just be like, you moron, what are you doing? Oh, you're fighting a dragon. Those things are bad.
No, she's saying, by the way, she's saying, never mind.
It makes sense for the character. That's all.
No, it doesn't make sense. She's saying the character addressed her as if she had talked to the character before.
Right.
She had.
And it makes sense because he just, you know, he watched you go and fight a dragon and just going like this, I see her fighting the dragon, and then you walk over and he's just like, you dumbass, what are you doing fighting a dragon? Those things are dangerous. Their power is not to be, like, you know, trifling. Let me tell you about
someone.
He probably
does remember the script word for word at this point. So.
It makes sense.
We'll consult the script. We'll consult the script and see here who's what. But the NPC thing is fucked up. You can't, defending how the NPC subquests work in the game. It is very interesting to discover these different ways that different paths and different conclusions and different way options for some of the NPC subquests. And but yeah,
I actually want to say that same character on my, I don't remember if it's fourth or fifth character. I met him out of order in what the sort of normal route is. And he did do the like, oh, hey, by the way, my name's Yura. I do this. And there's a dragon with a lake over there. Don't go there. Like, he actually did that, just not like, because I encountered him in a different part of Limgrave.
All right. Well, let's talk more about some other game, for God's sake. For once in our goddamn lives.
But I'm finally excelling. I'm finally enjoying myself, Mark.
No, that's good. I'm glad. We will check back in. We will definitely.
I'm so happy.
We will check in again, as I guess we will check in again on Chrono Cross. Mm. You guys have been playing, Gabe and Tina, you guys both?
Yeah.
So we just started playing, Tina, and you got the good starting character or somebody you were happy with. Mm-hmm. Gabe, who did you get?
I got a chef named Orchola or something. Horchata? I don't remember.
Okay. And is this your first time playing?
Yes.
Gabe, Chrono Cross?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So give us your impression.
I don't like it.
Damn.
Shots fired.
Damn.
Okay. Next game.
Did not even hesitate. There wasn't even like a, well, it was just, fuck this. This is trash.
I'm going to go back, for my 20th playthrough. Picks up a controller.
Okay, how much have you played? Like, how far in are you? And how long did it take for you to be like, wow, fuck this?
2.5-3 hours. That was going to be my whole Saturday, and I bailed out after, it's been 2.5 hours.
How far did you get in 2.5 hours? What was the last thing that happened?
You gotta, there's the kid with the boat, and he's like, I don't know how to get to that place, but if you can find someone to take me to that place, that manor,
Did you have a hard time finding somebody to take you there?
That too, but there's other problems with this game.
Give us the summarize for us, please.
Okay, not a huge fan of the weird triple hit combo thing that is tied to elements. Not a huge fan of that. I get it.
What are you talking about? I mean, you're talking about this game as if we've all played the shit out of this game.
Okay, so turn-based PS1 JRPG, except I don't know when it's my turn. I just get to do an attack. Like, I don't see, it's not like there's like no bar saying, hey, your turn is coming up or anything. Like, it's like, oh, I guess it's my turn to attack.
You expect that as a default?
Oof. Yes. I'm spoiled by Final Fantasy.
Okay. Keep going.
And then it has this weird system of like, do a light attack, do a medium attack, like pick light, medium, or hard. And that gives you points, which you can then burn on special abilities, which you can only use once or twice, depending on the amount of charges it has. And those abilities have colors tied to them, elementally inspired. So fire attacks make the field red, which is reflected in the top left oval of the, like, here's what the battlefield is like. And there are bonuses of, like, if it's all red, red attacks do more, but blue attacks do less. And I'm guessing for other colors like white and black, it's the same way. And
are you saying this is, you know, too complicated for your taste, or just, like, it, I mean, it doesn't sound inherently bad or good. It just sounds like systems, but you don't like the systems. It sounds like
it doesn't feel, and maybe it's just cause I'm not that far in, but like, it doesn't feel great to engage with. Like, it's just pump and dump with a really crappy RNG of the, why did my 99% hit fail? It's supposed, like the amount of times, because it gives you a percentage of, is your light, medium, or strong attack, how, like, what's the chance of it's going to hit? And I'm like, I have 93% chance, and it still misses half the time. And I'm like, just tell me it's 50%. I can handle this. If it's not on the back, don't tell me 93%, because I've missed way too many of these hits to be what you're telling me it is. And I, performance is really bad.
Like, that I've heard.
Frame rate is really not good.
Really?
And I don't know if it's, yeah, and I don't. So I had to start that playing it in the. So I should also say the remaster actually comes with some of the, like, no random battles, like attack boosts. And
you
one
walk
of the things
faster. Does it have,
yes,
the? Double
they have
speed?
A 5x thing, and I now have that on by default, because that's the only way to get something that looks like it's going 30 frames per second, because it hitches so bad. And I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to dunk on this, but, like, it was so disappointing of just, like, man, like, this was one of the, like, lost games of my childhood I never got to play. And it's just foul ball.
It's really weird to me that the performance, I mean, in a remaster of a PS1 game on PS4 should not have any, you know, frame rate issues at all. I hope that's something that's going to get patched, because that
me too.
Is a bummer.
Like, I could get through, and I'm also not too big on the writing right now. It reads like a Saturday morning cartoon. We get it, kid, you're British. But, like, I'm not 12.
Some rare shade from Gabe here. I've never seen you like this.
He's like real
mad. Was like incredulous, and then just gone to, like, smiling and shaking her head for the last.
Well, no, it's like, there were some complaints in there that I was like, bro, for real. But, like, he's now, it's just like, I'm not, I get it.
You just met. You're like,
you don't
he's dead
have
to you.
Like it if you don't want to.
I want to. That's the thing. That's why it hurts, Tina. I want to like this game. I'm supposed to like this game. This is a Gabe game. I'm supposed to like it.
I'm curious to know how it is on Switch, because I also have been playing it on PlayStation, and, like, it just, you know, chugga chugga chugga.
I can't imagine it's any better on Switch. I mean,
I'm curious to see if it's different, because I haven't seen any. I mean, granted, I haven't really looked. Maybe I'll do a quick Google right
and
now.
Like, but and by the way, thank you again, Square Enix, for the codes. Like, I was fully hesitant to get this on my own, because I heard the performance stuff was not great. And but I was like, okay, well, you know, I will definitely play it now, and I will, it can't be that bad. I'm like, oh, it's actually that bad. And like I said, like, I played at 5x, and I just walked, because running, it's too hard to navigate. So I'm just walking around the map at 5x, because it's smoother that way.
5x seems like too fast to let somebody do something. I'm surprised. It just seems like it'd be like, you'd just be like,
it is when
flying
you're running
around.
It is when,
yeah,
you're,
but so, Tina, how about you? How are you finding it? How far are you in now? And
I haven't played it again since last time we talked about it.
Okay.
So I've still done only the first couple hours. And I did also notice that it was chugging, but I didn't find it especially detrimental to the experience. But like I said last time too, like, I have a deep fondness for this game already.
Yeah.
So I'm already poised to still like it, you know?
Sure.
So when I was playing it, I was enjoying it just fine. And I was like, oh, I kind of forgot this was how this worked. Ooh, this is fun. Golly, this music's great. Like, I was having a fine time. So
music is amazing.
I'm not
John, are you
gonna
play it? Are you gonna play
it? I played the original back in the day for like a good 20 something hours. It's a weird game to me because I like everything about it, and yet I didn't really enjoy it. Like, I like the music, I like the concept, I like the visuals. I thought at the time the localization was really interesting because, you know, it does a lot of interesting stuff, how like every character has like a unique accent and stuff. But like, somehow though, I couldn't maintain interest back then in the way that I did with like Chrono Trigger. And so I just sort of fell off. And so I'm not like eager to go back, but I was eager to play the other game that's on there though, which is, can we talk about that? Which is,
Radical Dreamers. I wanted to talk about that.
Which I, you know, my history on this is a little blurry. I used to know more about it back when it was like new, but like it's been a while. But my recollection of it is like Radical Dreamers was like a Satellaview game. Satellaview being the like Japan only weird Super Famicom add-on that had like, you know, you could download games for like 3 hours a day and then play them like kind of online with like, you know, it was like a satellite thing, like a dish, imagine like, and so it's almost like a broadcast. You're like able to, if you play at certain times, you can kind of play along with like voice actors and things and stuff. This was just a game that you got on there. I don't think there was anything special about it that took advantage of the Satellaview stuff. But anyway, because of that, it never got localized. And now there's a localized version of it on the disc. And it essentially was the inspiration for Chrono Cross, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it is kind of like this alternate small piece of story from Chrono Cross, you know, that was meant to follow up Chrono Trigger back then. And it's just a text adventure, basically, you know, with a bunch of choices, like a choose your own adventure kind of, you're reading a lot of text. There's some minimal graphics in the background. There's music. I decided to play that instead because it's new to me. And I don't know how far I am because I'm not, you know, again, not reading up on this one either, but I've played for a couple of hours and I'm really enjoying it. Actually, it's like, you know, it's well written, it's interesting. It feels like playing a Super Famicom game. There's like parts where it's like Mode 7 going on and stuff, you know, in the background, just little pieces of like things that make you feel like the era, you know, even the music too. I don't think they updated the music, and so it feels like Super Nintendo music too. But it's effectively like, I don't know, but I think it's a small part of like Chrono Cross's story, like a very tiny part of Chrono Cross's story in like adventure form. Tina would probably know more than I would. You know, Kid and Surge are in it, and Lynx is in it. You know, these characters that show up in Chrono Cross. But it's just a text adventure. And I didn't even know, like, apparently Tina told me the other day you can die. I didn't know. I haven't died yet. But I just thought you just play it and you finish it. But it sounds like you can fail.
Yeah, so there are, when you move around in the environment, there are random encounters you're going to have sometimes. And depending on what action you choose on what turn, you can succeed or fail. I think most of the encounters are scripted in the sense that they're always the same. So like, if you encounter the same enemy again, and you know that option two wasn't the right one last time, you know to choose option one this time instead. There is at least one major encounter that is not always the same like that. So it's not textbook, you know, choose option one, choose option three for the entire game. But you do take damage depending on your actions, and you have a fixed amount of HP that you can't see on the screen. You don't know how you're doing. And if your HP runs out, you die. And you start over from your last save point. I learned the hard way that you should have multiple save files going, because the game lets you save at any time. Like, you don't have to, you know, reach a certain point in a conversation to be able to save. You can save anywhere you want. And I got into trouble with that because I was just sort of periodically saving and not really thinking too much about it. And I unknowingly saved when I had one hit worth of HP left, and I was already into the conversation leading into a major encounter. And I tried several times, and I don't think I'm going to be able to clear that major encounter on that save file. So, like, having
XCOM level,
having already done a bunch of exploration that first time, I kind of know my way around enough to get back to that point. So it's not a huge deal, but that is worth knowing, I think.
It's you know, you're exploring this mansion and you're looking for an item. You play, you know, one of your party members is a thief and she's trying to find this item. And so you're kind of, you know, there's a lot of like, you come to a door, you can go left and go into the, you know, the atrium or whatever. You can go up the stairs or you can go down the hall. And then like when you go down the hall, it's like you can turn left or you could turn right. And you kind of have to build the visual in your head, because eventually, like, if you don't, you're just going to be endlessly lost, because it's like, okay, I already went all the way down that hall. I got to go back this way and turn there and do that sort of thing. And so, in that sense, it feels a lot like kind of old PC games and stuff. But
I really like, you know, the visual style of it. I don't know how to describe it, John. Maybe you can help me. But it's that kind of visual style that looks incredibly good until it has to move, and then the one part that moves gets really clunky. But like in a charming way.
Yeah, it feels, I mean, in a sense, it's like as if Super Nintendo tried to do cutscenes or something sometimes. I don't know, like it looks good when it's still, but they can't really handle, yeah, motion and things. But it's also very dark. I mean, like a lot of the, even when there are visuals, I was thinking about this while I was playing. I was like, wow, they actually took the time to make this really nice art and then not show it to me. You know, like it's mostly dark. Like it's obviously they did make the full image in the background, but you just never really get to see it because most of it is covered up, which is, you know, an interesting way to try to,
it's a visual novel thing, right? That
basically.
Look.
And it's, you know, it's, I would say, I mean, it one of those things that's probably going to live or die by having decent writing. And fortunately, the writing is, you know, is solid. So
that's cool. Yeah. It's interesting text. Yeah. I mean, visual
piece of history too.
Yeah. I was just reading up on it as you were talking about it, about, I mean, obviously, so it comes out for the Super Famicom, so it's meant to be like a thing for fans of Chrono Trigger. But then, like you're saying, part of the plot elements, I guess the guy wanted to like redo it right, and then that was kind of formed the basis of Chrono Cross. So, like you're saying, it shares like plot elements and stuff like that. Yeah. And I guess it intentionally did skip over it in some of the re-releases, like the DS Chrono Trigger and stuff like that, because it was kind of like, well, it's this weird in-between thing that doesn't really fit cleanly anymore because some of it's been redone and some of it...
Right, canon has kind of been redone or whatever.
But yeah, I guess
To answer, somebody asked earlier, maybe it's you, but I will say that because of it being an interesting story, it actually did make me want to play Chrono Cross a little more than I did before I started Radical Dreamers. So because of that, I might actually give Chrono Cross a whirl, but I kind of want to wait till they fix the performance if I'm going to do that.
Playing Radical Dreamers, knowing the stories of both Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross already, it's really interesting to see, like, you know, things get revealed gradually as they do in the story in Radical Dreamers. And because I already know what it means, it's super interesting for me to see it and be like, oh, that's how they chose to approach this. Oh, that's, ooh, this is going to be that later. Ooh. And there's like so much more going on in the background kind of than you would realize. So I haven't finished it yet. So I'm really, really interested to see how it, you know, wraps that all up and puts a nice little, not a direct sequel bow onto it to see how it all ties together eventually.
It's a cool idea. They put it out officially now, like a little fan service thing to get people, you know, talking and excited about it and whatever. Cool bit of trivia, even if it's just kind of trivia at this point. All right. Why don't we shift into news then? Gabe, give us the our news theme song, please.
News. News. News.
All right.
A lack of enthusiasm going on.
Starting off with, wait, what? Were we supposed to be dancing to that? What?
The headbanging wasn't enough?
Or? I'm seeing head shakes from half the panel here.
That's head
negative
shakes.
Variety.
What?
Yeah.
How dare they? No, that wasn't for me.
No.
You didn't see it for me, did you? Okay.
No, not
half
at all.
The panel seems like an awfully large number.
I'm talking percentages. Like I don't do numbers. I do percentages. That's how I do my stats.
Xenoblade 3 Chronicle 3 release date June. Bam, coming up quick. Excited for that, John. Will you play that?
I will, and I guess I have to finish Xenoblade 2 now. I am a I was not a huge fan of Xenoblade 2. Like, I'm just not really into the, like, hyper anime style they kind of went with, but I am interested in the story. I did finish the first Xenoblade, and, like, I want to see where things are going. So I'm debating, like, I guess I'm going to go back to 2 and, like, see if there's an easy mode or something and try to run through it before 3.
How far did you get into 2?
I played, like, 15 hours. I mean, it's a huge game, though, so that's probably
right.
The first game took me, like, 80 hours or something like that to finish, so...
Those games,
it is, you know, it's their threads. The story is connected, and I do believe, I really love that dude's stories, and I want to see where it goes. But
yeah, that was my question, because I haven't played any of them, but this one looks interesting enough. So I was wondering, like, hey, should I play 1 and 2? If it's just loose ties, then I don't feel...
You could have finished 1 and 2 like 2 times over in the time you spent playing like extra Elden Ring runs.
Yeah, but I needed to do a Dragon Faith build, so that won out.
Everything has to be weighed against, or do I play Elden Ring for the...
Sorry, that's 2022.
Splatoon 3, September 9th. Miyamoto giveth and Miyamoto taketh away. Miyamoto himself jumped on Twitter to let people know that the Super Mario movie has been delayed to 2023, to which my reaction was, was that going to come out this year?
No, I didn't know.
I didn't know that was this
year. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. But yeah, to which, by the way, Polygon, I see you. I was realizing today I've lived long enough now for people to unironically say that the Super Mario Brothers movie, major people in positions of power and influence, I'm not going to name names.
Oh no.
Unironically say that the Super Mario Brothers movie is a quote great movie.
Ooh! What a time to be alive!
I saw like an article be written that like Resident Evil 6 is it's better than you remember or whatever. And now Mario, it's official. Whatever, you can't take a steaming diarrhea filled fucking turd big enough for the world to not 20 or 30 years later. If enough time passes, somebody will be like, it's actually good. This fucking steaming turd is actually, it tastes delicious. But enough of that. Meanwhile,
it's like
Sony, people were finally getting variable refresh rate, which people are very excited about. Get those HDMI 2.2 or 2.3, whatever the fuck it is, 2.1 cables ready. So that you can handle variable refresh rate on games like above 60 frames a second, stuff like Astro's Playroom, Destiny 2, Dirt 5, Godfall, Spider-Man, pretty much every Spider-Man, Resident Evil Village, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, etc. There's a list of 14 games.
And I didn't catch, there's also going to be a system level VRR for like, hey, this might work for other games as well. So
that's good.
I'm looking at you, Elden Ring, because I would like to play the PS5 version.
Oh, I don't know. Do you think that that's going to? I don't know.
I hope it helps.
You mean the developer that still hasn't updated Bloodborne?
I don't know about that. Yeah, but,
yeah.
Would it help to, if? I mean, don't you want it capped at 60? You don't want it to be like woo all capped over the place, right?
Capped is the wrong. I want it locked. Like, I want to lock it at 50.
I don't think this is a magical thing that lets you.
Right, but it's supposed to smooth that out because it's hitchy on the PS5. That's why I play the PS4 version, because there's no hitchy.
Am I mistaken on what variable refresh rate is then? Isn't it like, how is it? Explain it. Explain it as you was a child.
It just helps. It helps the jank. It makes it look smooth.
Is that really what it is?
I genuinely don't know what it is, and I have no idea what we're talking about. So
nobody does, actually. I don't think any of us do. Gabe thinks it's like this magic thing that's just going to make all games like smoother and look better and whatever. And I don't think it's that at all, right? It just lets you do frame rates that are in between frame rates, right? Like, not 60. You could do 120. You could do 90. You could do... Right?
I mean, it's supposed to make the this is okay. Yeah, I also don't know like everything. my limited understanding is that it gets rid of like the jerkiness. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it does. But it doesn't make it a consistent. I don't think it makes it a consistent like 60.
But it makes it harder to see.
This is one of those conversations that there are some people listening just like screaming at us. The, like, yeah, no, exactly. You fools.
More than usual.
until we charge money for this podcast, you're going to have to live with that. And when That's we do right. charge money for this podcast, you're still going to live with that. But no, but I mean, yeah, it is supposed to get rid of the jerkiness, but I don't think it's going to fix anything in that Elden Ring. Because Elden Ring is, honestly, I don't think it's that jerky.
I've gotten used to it now. It doesn't bother me. At first it did, when especially in combat or whatever. I'm totally used to it now. Bugsnax, we mentioned the Elden Ring update. There's a huge, very detailed patch notes list, or you can just go to YouTube and see all the videos about such and such in 1.04 now. This is like a gift to creators, to YouTubers, because every time they release a patch, they can redo the like 10 best weapons for mm-hmm. each for every build now as of patch 1.04. So
I can't believe they buffed this spell.
There you go. Yeah, we mentioned Bugsnax patch coming out. That's also coming to Game Pass. I guess the timing there is basically for those is meant to line up with those two things, the content patch and the it coming to Game Pass. And you can play, they showed, like, if you finish the game, you can revert, you can go right to the point in the story where you can go to the new the new area, I guess.
Super excited to just pop that in right away.
Nice.
So a report came out saying Sega's developing a, quote, big budget Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio reboot as well, which I guess they noticed all the buzz that indie game that's basically Jet Set Radio is getting.
Why do I know it as Jet Grind Radio?
That's what they call it in the West.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
It was one of those things where I think they probably, there was some legal issue with the name or something. Maybe they're worried about the Jet Set thing being used on some other property or something. And so they changed it to Jet Grind Radio.
Was it Jet Grind here and got changed to Jet Set?
Yeah, Jet Set Radio originally, and they changed it to Jet Grind Radio.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, because I had it for the Dreamcast, and it was Jet Grind Radio.
What else? PS5 controller is going to be updatable firmware via the PC. That's kind of nice. Apex Legends, we don't really talk about on this podcast anymore now that Roy and Dermot aren't on it anymore. Anything else? I think we feel like we hit everything.
Did y'all see those?
Everybody watch Severance?
What?
Man,
That's that Apple Plus. Ben Stiller
got me. That's the thing that got me to spend the whatever $5 a month for Apple TV Plus.
Man, don't you get it for free? You buy so many Apple products, I feel like you'd be constantly getting it renewed for free.
I should. I probably would, but I didn't do it. Like, you know, right when you buy it, it just usually is smart enough to tell you like you want it, and I didn't want it at the time. Because, you know, then it auto renews, but now I want it. We watched it's a 9-episode season. We watched all 9 episodes in one day. It's like the best TV I've seen since like Breaking Bad. It's so good. You have to all watch it.
Speaking of that, you should really, really be watching Better Call Saul.
Catch up on that too. Yeah.
Really good this season. And then I was having the same thought about a different show. Like, wow, this is one of the best things of TV that I've seen since Game of Thrones. And it was Ranking of Kings. Have you guys heard of this? It's an anime. Totally randomly. I have a thing with my LG TV. I don't know that I don't think you have this problem, John. I haven't heard of anybody else with this problem in our friend group, but it is known online where certain of the apps, Netflix and Apple Plus, are this way. The sound, if you're using the, what's it called, Gabe, where you can control sound through the TV through an HDMI.
ARC.
If you're using an ARC connection, and it might be only with older receivers, because my receiver's pretty old, it doesn't immediately catch and start playing the audio on certain apps immediately. And so certain apps, though, it does do that. And so you have to switch the way I found to fix it is I switch back and forth between apps and get it on one where it does play and then kind of switch to the one that doesn't. And then I could do that 3 or 4 times. I know it's ridiculous, but it actually works. And it is. But the way that in doing that, I switched to Amazon Prime and there's an anime Ranking of Kings. It's like Ono Ranking. And the Japanese Prime. And I started watching it just to have audio, but literally just planning to watch like a few seconds, ended up stumbling on this amazing, really great series. I guess the animators behind Attack on Titan switched over and were doing something of this. I don't know. Just the animation house, I think, not anybody with the story.
WIT or whatever they're called.
WIT. Yeah, and it did have some fucking ridiculous shots. Some like, holy shit, the one shot in particular I still remember is just amazing perspective on on something that happens that I won't ruin, but highly, highly recommended. It peters out a little bit towards the end, but yeah. And I randomly saw too, like a couple days after I was watching it, Polygon recommended it as they had like their newsletter was titled, like, even if you don't watch anime, watch Ranking of Kings. Yeah, I think that's the English title. I wholeheartedly, because I generally don't, and I wholeheartedly.
But you just told me Polygon likes the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Well, somebody there does, and it's not that person who wrote this newsletter, as far as I know. So,
okay.
So what I'm hearing is I should watch the Super Mario Brothers movie over Golden Week.
Yes,
got it.
Super Mario Brothers movie, Ranking of Kings, Severance, and Better Call Saul, and I think that's got you covered. Atlanta is also awesome right now if you're looking for good TV to watch. What just started again? Like the first episode of something.
I've been digging Moon Knight too.
Haven't. Is that like a Hawkeye? Like, maybe if you have time, kind of situation, or is it like no,
more,
no,
like
it's
it more than
so
Hawkeye.
Good.
No, I don't think it's either like extreme of that, you know. But it's good. Like it's fun, and that's getting. It's almost over, and it's been getting better as it goes. Like last week, the end of last week's episode was one of those like, oh, what the, you know, kind of moments. So it's got some of those. Digging that.
I have a feeling they will have some kind of big twist that will probably get spoiled for me via Twitter, but I don't know if I would ever want to watch it. I still want to avoid the spoiler anyway, but I don't know.
I've been watching everything they. I just watch everything now. That way, I can't be spoiled. Even if the only thing I didn't really dig
Marvel
I didn't
stuff,
love
you mean,
was
right?
What If? Yeah, but I'm even that like watch all.
Oh,
of
did
it.
That even come out? I saw a trailer for that. I didn't even realize.
About a
did
long
that...
time ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it have like a 10 episode season and everything?
Like 6 or 8 or whatever they usually do.
Yeah. Oh Jesus! You watched all of them?
No, that's the only one that I didn't finish yet. That's because I didn't.
Okay.
But I'm saying even that though, I am watching it. Like we just watch like one every couple of weeks. But yeah, Severance though, man, I haven't had a TV experience like that in a long. I mean, we binge stuff now and then because it's fun, but we never binged the whole season in like literally one day. And like immediately from turning it on 5 minutes in, I was like, man, this has Control vibes, which was a game that I really dug, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And like. It if you liked Control in any way, you really need to check this show out. It's just super, super good. I never thought Ben Stiller would be directing a show that I would say is like one of the best things of TV I've ever seen, but it's really
Ben Stiller's great, good. Man. Did you watch the Ben Stiller show back in the day?
I think I did, but I don't remember.
It was so good. It was amazing. Bob Odenkirk? Yeah, it was fucking brilliant. It won an Emmy.
Odenkirk was on the Ben Stiller show?
Yeah, he was actor and writer. Yeah.
Was that before Mr. Show or after?
It was before Mr. Show.
Oh, okay.
Anything else? Anybody? No?
Can I complain about
suggestions?
Those Uniqlo shirts now?
Oh, yes. Actually, I would show them. Post it in the
link
in the chat. I want to see them.
All right. Let's see here.
Are they linked in the...
Are we getting a live reaction on air?
Yes. Yes.
So for the 35th anniversary of Final Fantasy... Uniqlo is doing a shirt. Uniqlo being a big clothing store. I did. It's in the Slack. Jeez, what do you want from me, people?
5 minutes. For those who can't hear the part or read our chat, like 10 minutes ago, it's like, hey, shut Slack. And then, okay, shut off Slack.
Well, that's a failure on my part, John. Sorry.
All right. When did they announce this? They just.
I think it was last week they announced it.
Some of these are okay.
And I'm just like reeling because they have this, you know, banner at the top showing all of the major installments with like their hero character, right? And it's two horizontal rows. And Cloud is on the top row. And in my brain, Final Fantasy VII is like a couple of Final Fantasies ago.
It is more than halfway ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
That is fucked up to think about, They look like... So Uniqlo's normal thing is they do these game collaborations, have since way back before pretty much anybody was doing them, Monster Hunter and things like that. They're very affordable. They usually have just shitty designs, except for one or maybe two. Metal Gear was that way. Monster Hunter was that way. There'd be one or two that were really good, and then the rest just bad. They kind of don't know what to do once they run out of pixel art.
You mean when they run out of text to put on your graphic shirt for you to read? That's not what a shirt is for.
Six is pretty bad.
Five is good.
Six was a missed opportunity, but five actually up like until five.
Four is not bad.
Less is more when it comes to
four
t-shirts.
Could be better. Yeah, three is good. Three is actually very good.
Gabe,
two
let's make sure
is
we link
okay.
this in the show notes.
Oh sure,
so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Two is pretty good. It's got that. I mean, the logo to two is so fucked up that they just basically
here's the back of the shirt.
When are these going on sale? Because they don't. I can't add them to my cart, so I guess they're not available yet.
I think next, if not the end of this,
the
29th. Yes,
listed right there on the page. Yeah. So actually, as you're hearing this on Friday of Golden Week, run to Uniqlo and stock up.
Definitely getting some of these jammies.
The one for seven is really unfortunate. It's just sort of like a scrapbook.
Seven is awful.
Seven is garbage.
It's
eight
really
is
unfortunate.
Horrible.
Eight was almost good.
Nine is so bad. The nine is better than the game deserves, but still shitty. ten again. They just like the deadline ran out, I guess. So on having to design something, and they just took whatever fucking random piece of clip art and threw it on.
And then they added like a paragraph on it. I don't want to read on my shirt.
I like the 14 one. I'm gonna have to get that.
11 looks good. 14's okay. Gone.
Really? Is that something that's cool?
That's
if you
right.
know the game, I don't.
I think so. I think if you like the game, it's interesting. Yeah.
I like the one for 15. It looks good.
But it's
15,
what?
Yeah.
But it's
just like
they took.
It's just key art.
Yeah, they just took like a magazine cover and then just
throw some garbage text there.
This one actually like looks nice though. Like it looks like a. It looks like an interesting graphic tee because there are actually design elements happening versus like, I'm going to.
It's wild that there is
on the
a 16. 7
one again because it's bad.
They have a full, a complete box set too where you can get all 16, which is actually
how much
a
is that?
Cool idea. It's 24,900 yen, so about $200.
That's almost.
That's
and
not
it comes
bad.
With some extra stuff too. I might actually look. I'm considering this.
I would get like, that and sell cool. the bad shirts.
Some cards, I guess. It comes with like a deck of cards, and I don't even know what this is. A little, I should probably read
bunch
this
of crap first. That nobody.
Gabe, if you're
needs.
Gonna do that, just buy the two shirts you actually want.
I know they're $15 a piece. Well, with the exchange
right.
right now, they're like $10 a piece. Really,
I get paid in yen. I don't know about you guys, so 1500 yen.
Dude, that sucks. This would have been an amazing time to get paid in dollars. Holy shit.
It would be, wouldn't it?
It's too bad nobody listening to this can come to Japan right now because the exchange rate is completely off the
bonkers.
Fucking charts. It's like 130 yen to the dollar right now. So
they loosened the borders a little bit like 3 weeks ago. But
no, I mean, it's still,
yeah,
you
no,
can't
still
get
closed.
It on a tourist visa. So
yeah, no, you can't do that still.
So for the time being, your only exposure to Japan is through this podcast. So, come back 2 weeks from now, but until then, where can people tell people what they thought of it, find out more about us, et cetera, et cetera.
You can find us at our homepage, 8-4.jp, our second home, giantbomb.com. We've got a thread on Resetera. Feel free to leave a comment there. You can also leave 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. And finally, you can follow the show on Twitter, Elon Musk's Twitter, at 84 play.
Oh, he had to stain the podcast.
We got to start over, guys.
I can do it one more time without it. Okay. Ready? Hold for edit.
No, it's fine. Go.
And finally,
maybe he'll shitpost the podcast and we'll get like 6 million followers and death threats and all kinds of things. It'll be great.
You can follow me on Twitter at Gabriel De Leon. John, where can they find you?
John TV. Tina, how about you?
I am Tina Butts with 2 T's and a Z. Mark.
At Mark MacD. And I guess that's it. That's the end of the blurb. That's the end of the
That was it.
End of the line.
Okay.
Did Gabe awesome. Actually say the show's handle or nah?
At 84 play?
Did he actually say that part?
We didn't know if not. Yeah.
Dang, why's Tina tuning me out? I really unnerved her with that Chrono Cross.
But tune in to us in 2 weeks. Until then, who wants to take us out? Gabe, sing the Harry Styles hit song Golden.
I don't
know
that.
3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, it's the golden, and I love her golden hair, and it's pretty because I'm what's his name, Harry Styles? No, that's a wrestler, right? Golden girls, thank you for being my friend.
Close.
I don't know. I don't know.
The last line.
No. What do you want?
I love that you managed, even though you managed to sing a line from it, you still got the lyrics wrong from the Golden Girls song.
Was it thank you for being a friend?
A friend.
Yes. Oh, okay. Not my friend.
Wait, did he say thank you for being my friend?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I hate the ocean. Oceans for fishes, poop.
Lame.
But I love plastic.
That's Paul.
Ocean has water, and water makes you wet, and I hate being wet. Ah! Plastic is immortal, and it will never leave me. It will stay long after the oceans have dried up.
Epic Paul.
Oh hi, I'm Rob, and I'm definitely not Bob, and I am an ocean enthusiast.